Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Technology Report and This is America, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we take you to Los Angeles, where biking to work is becoming more popular.
The city has added more bike lanes in the last two fiscal years than in the previous 30 fiscal years combined.
Then we go to the Los Angeles Auto Show and report on what the show's organizers are calling the cars of the future.
Smartphone app we have allows you to check your tire pressures, check your oil level or your oil life.
Biking to work in the city of Los Angeles and looking at the cars of the future at the Los Angeles Auto Show. Those are our subjects today on As It Is. People in Los Angeles are known for their love of cars. The city is very large, and its public transportation is either slow or limited. So people drive everywhere. Traffic can be heavy all day. But now, a growing group of bicyclists are trying to get people out of their cars and on bikes. Devon Fitzgerald is a bicyclist. He says he has to be careful when he is riding his bike on the streets of Los Angeles.
A lot of LA folks are in a rush, and it's very easy for them to prioritize their speed over your safety.
But although his bike ride to work can be dangerous, he prefers it over a car.
I like the fact that it simplifies a lot of aspects of travel. For instance, I don't have to worry about parking ever.
Roger Rosas drives to work. He says bicycles are dangerous for cyclists and drivers.
Because you always have to make sure you look to the other side because if you're going to dodge this guy, because you don't want to do a hit and run, you can also get in a car crash as a result of that.
To make cycling safer, some bicyclists who live and work near each other are riding to work together in what they call a bike train. Nona Varnado helped create the group LA Bike Trains.
You're a big enough group that, you know, cars don't kind of have the same behavior as if you were just one person, and you're also with an experienced cyclist.
LA Bike Trains was launched in May 2013. The number of people riding in the bike trains and the number of routes around the city have been growing.
We specifically design each route so that we avoid problem intersections.
The routes range from 7 to almost 32 kilometers long. Herbie Huff is a transportation expert at the University of California, Los Angeles. She says in recent years, city planners in Los Angeles have been putting more bike lanes on roads that were designed for cars and trucks.
The city has added more bike lanes in the last two fiscal years than in the previous 30 fiscal years combined.
Ms. Huff says bike lanes give cyclists options that they do not have with bike trains.
With anything that runs on a fixed schedule, whether it's a bike train or a train, there's only so many people that can make that schedule.
Nona Varnado of LA Bike Trains says there should be bike lanes that are separated from car lanes.
I think that we should have a far greater infrastructure than a few little paint lines on the street.
And she says bike trains can do what a bike lane cannot.
We want people to develop that mental sense of security and confidence by riding together in a group.
Modern automobiles and their drivers are becoming connected through wireless technology to entertainment and information systems. VOA recently visited the Los Angeles Auto Show. We found that high-priced luxury cars like BMW are attempting to become friendly to the environment. This car, an electric i3 model, is made with lightweight carbon fiber. It also has the latest electronic devices to make driving safer. The i3 includes a camera that lets the driver see the area directly behind the car. It is equipped with automated parking assistance and collision avoidance systems. Teresa Moriarty works for BMW. She says the i3 is equipped with automatic braking. Stopping or slowing down the car adds power to its battery.
Anytime you're not accelerating, the regenerative braking kicks on and the car will slow, adding some energy back to your battery.
Bluetooth is connecting.
Another automaker, General Motors, has developed a high-tech system for a hybrid version of its Cadillac model. Power for the car comes from gasoline, a traditional fuel, and electricity. Stuart Fowle works for General Motors. He says the high-tech system lets the driver start the car from a distance. It also lets the driver see how the vehicle is operating from halfway around the world.
Smartphone app we have allows you to check your tire pressures, check your oil level or your oil life. It allows you to check your fuel level, how much range you have on that tank of fuel.
For operators of many vehicles, technology connects cars and trucks on the road. Joshua Turner works at a company called Sprint Velocity, which helps create those connections.
If, for instance, a fleet vehicle were to experience a flat tire, the system in vehicle would be able to transmit that to the appropriate repair technician and then also alert the fleet management when that vehicle was able to come back online.
Cars can already tell drivers about nearby fuel stations and gasoline prices. Airbiquity sells online vehicle services in 50 countries. David Jumpa works for the company. He says cars will soon be able to share information with each other.
Information that there's ice on the road ahead, right? Based on the information the previous car, just passed up.
Vehicles cannot yet talk to one another, but David Jumpa says they will be able to in the future. And that's our program for today. It was based on stories from VOA reporters Elizabeth Lee and Mike O'Sullivan in Los Angeles. You can see Elizabeth's video report on biking to work in Los Angeles and Mike's video report on the Los Angeles Auto Show on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. We would like to know what you want to hear about on a future show. Write to us at VOA Learning English, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. You can also go to our website and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. I'm Christopher Cruz. Thank you for spending some of your day with us. Jim Tedder will be here tomorrow with another edition of As It Is on The Voice of America. The Technology Report is next, followed by This is America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Technology Report. A record number of Americans are moving into cities. When they move into urban areas, they drive less. New York City is one of the top cities for new people and for users of mass transit. There are about 3.4 billion rides on New York City subways and buses every year. That is about one-third of all mass transit trips in the United States. New York's mass transit system operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The public transport system costs $1.5 billion a year to maintain. It is one of the world's oldest mass transit systems. The city's first subway line opened in 1904. Use of public transportation is the highest it has been in almost 60 years in almost every American city. Researchers say Americans took 10.7 billion trips on public transportation in 2012. Jean Rushinoff is a spokesman for the Strap Hangers campaign. The group supports people who take public transportation. He says younger Americans are causing the rise in mass transit use.
Millennials, those people born around the turn of this past century, are much less car-oriented. They're urban, they like not owning cars, they like less responsibility, and there are a lot of them.
Many people, not just millennials, believe public transit is less costly than car use and is good for the environment. New York City is planning several major expansions of its public transportation system. One project is a new $4.7 billion subway line. The first part of the project is set to be completed in 2016. People who work in New York's financial area will soon be using a new subway center. Almost all of New York City's subways meet in the lower part of Manhattan. The new center will give riders an easier way to travel to the neighboring state of New Jersey. The most costly planned project is a $7 billion tunnel connection from Long Island into Manhattan's Grand Central Terminal. Andrew Albert is a member of the board of the Metropolitan Transit Authority. He says there are many other reasons for the increase in the use of mass transit.
The system has gotten a lot more dependable. We have new cars. We have countdown clocks to tell you when the next trains are coming. We have expanded facilities in places.
And that's the VOA Learning English Technology Report. For more technology stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Jonathan Evans.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to This is America. I'm Catherine Cole.
And I'm Jonathan Evans. Today on our program, we take you to the Biltmore Estate. This huge home was built more than a century ago near the mountains of North Carolina.
An estate is a property, usually large, owned by one person or a family. The man who owned the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina was George Vanderbilt. He was born in 1862 and died in 1914. His father and grandfather were two of the richest and most powerful businessmen in America. They made their money in shipping and railroads. When his father died, George Vanderbilt received millions of dollars. He chose to spend a good deal of that money building his home in North Carolina. More than 1,000 people began work on it in 1889. The structure was ready 6 years later in December 1895. Biltmore is now open to the public. It is well worth a visit, so close your eyes and imagine you are going there.
Our car has just turned off one of the main roads in the city of Asheville, North Carolina. We have entered a private road that leads to the main house on the Biltmore Estate. The sides of the road are lined with trees. When we leave the car, we walk through a wooded area. The air is clean. The trees are dark and very large. They block us from seeing anything. At last, we come to an open area and turn to the right. The main house is several hundred meters in front of us. Biltmore is huge. It looks like a king's palace. It measures 238 meters from side to side. It is the color of milk, with maybe just a little chocolate added to make it light brown.
As we walk closer, it seems to grow bigger and bigger. It has hundreds of windows. Strange stone creatures look down from the top. They seem to be guarding the house. Two big stone lions guard the front door. Biltmore really has two front doors. The first is made of glass and black iron. We pass through it to a second door. This one is made of rich, dark wood. Both doors are several meters high. The opening is big enough for perhaps six people to walk through side by side.
A book has been written about the Biltmore Estate. It includes many pictures of the house, other buildings, gardens, and the Vanderbilt family. The book says the house has 250 rooms. We cannot see and count them all. One room that can be seen looks like a garden. It is alive with flowers. In the center is a statue with water running from it. When we look up, we see the sky through hundreds of windows. Eight big lights hang from the top.
Then we come to a room in which dinner can be served to many guests. The table is large enough for more than 60 people. The top of this room is more than 21 meters high. The walls are covered with cloth pictures, flags, and the heads of wild animals. Each room at Biltmore is more beautiful than the last. Many include paintings by famous artists like French artist Pierre-Auguste Renoir and American artist John Singer Sargent. The chairs, beds, and other furniture were made by artists who worked in wood, leather, glass, marble, and cloth. One room was designed for reading. It contains more than 23,000 books in 8 languages. Stairs on the side of the room permit visitors to reach books that are kept near the top. The paintings in this reading room are beautiful, too.
Later, we visit rooms below ground level. The people who worked for the Vanderbilt family lived in this lower part. The Vanderbilts employed about 80 people to take care of the house. This included cooks, bakers, and house cleaners. Other workers took care of the many horses the Vanderbilts owned. Many of these workers lived in the main house, but some lived in the nearby town. One of the biggest rooms below ground level is the kitchen, and there are separate rooms for keeping food fresh and cold, and for washing the Vanderbilts' clothes. Past these rooms, we find an indoor swimming pool. This area has several separate small rooms where guests could change into swimming clothes.
We finally come back to the front door of the house. Yet there is still much to see at the Vanderbilt estate. To the left of the front door, about 50 meters away, is where the Vanderbilt family kept its horses. It is no longer used for horses, however. It now has several small stores that sell gifts to visitors. Visitors can also enjoy a meal or buy cold drinks and ice cream.
In addition to seeing the main house at Biltmore, you can walk through the gardens. Hundreds of different flowers grow there. A big stone and glass building holds young plants before they are placed in the ground outside. Past the gardens is the dark green forest. Trees seem to grow everywhere. The place seems wild. At the same time, there is a feeling of calm order. There was once a dairy farm on the Biltmore estate. It is gone now. The milk cows were sold. Some of the land was planted with grapes, and the cow barn was turned into a building for making wine.
As we continue to walk, we come to an unusual house in the forest. The road on which we are walking passes through the house. The house was used many years ago by the gatekeeper. Visitors traveled from this gatehouse to the main house. The distance between the two is almost 5 kilometers. The trees surrounding Biltmore look like a natural forest. Yet all of the area was planned, built, and planted by the men who designed the estate. None of it is natural.
Now you may have begun to wonder about the history of Biltmore. Who designed it? How did they plan it? How and why was it built? The Biltmore Estate was the idea of George Vanderbilt. The buildings were designed by Richard Morris Hunt. Mr. Hunt was one of the most famous building designers of his day. He designed and helped build several other big homes in the United States, Several of them were for other members of the Vanderbilt family. Mr. Hunt also designed the base of the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor.
Another famous man of the time designed the gardens at Biltmore. He was Frederick Law Olmsted. He is most famous for designing Central Park in New York City and the grounds around the Capitol Building in Washington, D.C. One of Mr. Olmsted's first projects at Biltmore was to plant and grow the millions of flowers that would be used for the gardens there.
Another man, named Gifford Pinchot, was also part of the team that designed Biltmore. While there, he started the first scientifically managed forest in the United States. He cut diseased or dead trees and planted new ones. He improved the growth of many kinds of trees. It is because of his work that the wild forest at Biltmore has an ordered and peaceful look.
Gifford Pinchot left Biltmore to start the School of Forestry at Yale University. Later, he helped to establish the United States Forest Service. Biltmore is surrounded by more than 1,800 hectares of forest. The forest provides a wood crop that helps pay the costs of operating the estate. It was the work begun by Gifford Pinchot that makes this possible.
Today, Biltmore belongs to the great-grandchildren of George Vanderbilt. However, it is no longer used as a private home. Many years ago, the family decided to open it to the public. Visitors help pay the cost of caring for and operating it. Biltmore employs about 1,700 people who work in the house and gardens.
The family says George Vanderbilt liked to have guests at Biltmore. They say he enjoyed showing it to others. Now, each year, more than 1 million people visit the Vanderbilt home in Asheville, North Carolina. The family says George Vanderbilt would have liked that. Our program was written by Paul Thompson and Geraldine Watson. I'm Catherine Cole.
And I'm Jonathan Evans. Please join us again next week at this time for another edition of This is America from VOA Learning English.